Our gospel lesson today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, found in your pew Bibles on page 76 and 99 in the large print edition. This is the word of God for us. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused. But later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Our scriptures today tell stories of inconvenient persistence. This kind of persistence takes us beyond the mere patience of knocking at the door a second time, or waiting in line, or coming back tomorrow to try again. Persistence certainly does take patience, but it requires the courage to keep forging ahead, even when it would just be easier to give up and go home. For the widow in the parable, persistence looks like an act of petition that ventures into pestering the judge to grant her justice. For Jeremiah, persistence insisted that Judah and Israel have faith to believe that time would once again come when they would build and plant, even though they were in the midst of a season of tearing down and destruction. Persistence is a demonstration of faith that connects us with the promise of the days that are sure to come. And our scriptures are amazing, aren't they? The truth of the human condition as portrayed in today's parable is the same as if it were written in today's headlines. The judge and the widow could come from anywhere. We know these two people. In this very room, we have widows in our pews whose fierce tenacity would wear down any man's resolve. And in all of our lives, we have seen human justice fail. We could each probably name a public official or two who have acted as if they have no fear of God and no respect for anyone other than themselves. And our scriptures give us the insight that for more than a couple thousand years, people have been scratching their heads and asking one another, how did that selfish, corrupt, unqualified person get the job as that public official when they have absolutely no interest in serving the public? Now, Luke's gospel doesn't say much about the judge, but it makes one statement twice, the second time in the judge's own words. though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, in the judge's own mind, there are no consequences to the decisions he makes. He is godless. So there is no one more powerful than him, either now or in the afterlife. He has no respect for the people he makes decisions about, so no one can influence him one way or another. In the first century, he would be oblivious to the honor and shame codes that kept order in his society. Now, the upside of this is that he is not beholden to anyone's influence. But the downside is that the judge has no obligation to act justly through mercy or compassion, humility or love. His arrogance about his own behavior testifies to his non-existent morality. He answers only to his own whims. Now, the judge stands for all those heartless individuals and regimes, both then and now, who have the power to effect the righting of wrongs, but do not choose to do so. Now the widow will not let this judge stand between her and justice. She does not threaten him physically, nor does she threaten to take his job or demean him socially. To borrow a phrase, she does what she has the power to do. She refuses to give up. Every chance she gets, she goes to the judge asking for justice. And her persistence proves to be the judge's weakness. She bothers him until he is worn down and grants her justice. The judge's power and authority were overcome by the widow's tenacity and determination. He couldn't be bought or blackmailed or bullied or beaten, yet she persevered until he relented and justice prevailed. Now, Jesus sets up this parable as an example of the need to pray always and not lose heart. So look back to the struggle of God's people during the days of Jeremiah. His prophecies promise an important shift in the way God and humanity interact. No longer will the parents eat sour grapes and the children's teeth be set on edge, but all shall die for their own sins. Punishment for sins will no longer be levied against the next generation. Instead, sin is connected to the one who has transgressed, but it's also connected to God's forgiveness. Instead of God being the master and the commander who dictates laws from the top of Mount Sinai, the law will now be written on Israel's hearts. Instead of God as the patriarchal husband, keeping Israel submissive under the law, the new covenant recognizes a more integrated relation. The law that shapes how God's people are to live together in fruitful community is no longer an external force chiseled on stone tablets and passed around. The law will be written in our hearts. It will become part of who we are. It will be within us as a core part of who we are as God's people. Knowing the Lord comes from knowing what it means to be forgiven. And this knowing is paired with mutual belonging, in which God says, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. This is the foundation of the new covenant that arises from the ashes of what the Babylonian forces have destroyed. This is the beginning of the same new covenant that arises with Jesus in the sacrifice of the incarnation. I can only imagine what it might be like to return to the same person day after day, asking that justice be done, petitioning a person of authority to consider an alternate path. It will take great faith in God to have this kind of persistence, and yet this is what we are being asked to do. It will take patience. We will need to support one another, and we can trust that lives defined by the pursuit of truth and justice are in accord with the coming reign of God. With the widow as our example, her act of perseverance teaches us that we may not be able to change how someone else sees the world, but sometimes we can influence one another toward making just decisions. To close the parable, Jesus turns our attention to God, not to compare God's behavior to the judge, but as contrast. If even the unjust can be moved to just action through petition, then how much more will God work with us, especially when our petitions are for the progression of justice in the world? It can be easy for us to forget that prayer is more than sitting on our knees with our eyes closed, our heads bowed, and our hands folded. But the widow illustrates the hope and the energy that drives our prayers also drives us to action. When there is injustice, we are called to take our prayers out into the world, out into the street. As the letter to Timothy tells us, as we encourage one another to work with patience, to convince, to rebuke, and to teach one another the ways of truth. With persistent work, no matter how inconvenient the work seems at the start, even the powerful can be brought to yield. This is the hope that we cling to while catching glimpses of wholeness and justice in surprising places. The best witness to our faith in God is prayerful living, the kind of living that takes us out into the world where we work for justice and meet together to pray. May God's truth and justice be our persistent prayer. To the Lord our God, Alpha and Omega, be all glory and honor forever. Amen.